Right, so let's go into the word, and we're teaching on the inward witness. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. I will declare and decree at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're looking at what we call the inward witness. And that's a different way of saying or teaching about the leading of the Spirit. Are we together? You see, there are some topics in the Christian faith that you cannot afford to claim expertise on. You cannot afford to say, I know everything about that. Right? Because God is a God of all time. All times and all time, really. And He is a God of all seasons. So it means that there are certain things that God will want people to do per time, per session, per place. Right? So one of those topics is the topic on the leading of the Spirit. You shouldn't claim expertise on that. Same thing with prayer, for instance. Same thing with teachings about concerning spiritual, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You ought not to claim mastery over it. But every time you approach that topic, you give your heart, like a child, the heart of a baby, to listen to what God's word would say. Are we together? So it's very important to actually know that you ought to feed more on these topics. Because, you know, there's a lot in this world that our physical eyes can see. Are we here? There's a lot to this world that our physical eyes can see. What I really mean is, this world is not just about this you're wearing. This world is not just about the person that's sitting beside you. This world is a world that has a combination and a mixture of the physical and the supernatural or spiritual or the unseen world. Are we together? Right? And that is why you ought not to relegate the existence of what you call diabolical power. Did you get that? Right? We don't relegate the existence of diabolical abilities or diabolical power. Are we together? Because God from time has created this world to be a supernatural world, and by extension, He has put in man a desire to want to always want more. So by default, man always has a sense of insufficiency in the natural. So there's always that quest to want to know more. I feel like there's more to this world than meets the eye. And that is what now affects a lot of people who now go into the path of traditional, you know, practices, native practices, diabolical practices, and all those things. It is actually a godly desire that God puts in a man, but man decides to use it negatively. Are we together? So there are certain topics you cannot afford to play with. You ought to give your attention to them. You ought to listen to them. Ought to keep feeding and feasting on them. Are we together? And you know, as a church, God's palace, we're a church that is given to the ministry of the word, right? And the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the Spirit by extension, right? We are a supernatural church that pays attention to the supernatural abilities in the believer. Altogether. So why do you think we are teaching a topic like this? There are certain topics as a church we teach every year. There are certain topics that every year, in the past couple years, there's no year we don't teach them, right? One of them is the leading of the Spirit. Altogether. One of them is prayer. One of them is concerning spirituals. Altogether. And so many like that. You see, really, it might come in different titles, but it's the same thing we are teaching. Altogether. So if you ask me, have I talked about inward witness before? I will tell you yes and no. Note the fact that on my website, on our website rather, you will not see any of our teachings showing inward witness. But if you ask me, I want to learn about inward witness, what have you taught about it before? I will direct you to leading of the Spirit or other teachings, recognizing the leading of the Spirit on the website. Right? So we might change the name, it's the same content. Altogether. There's a lot to learn on every subject matter of the faith. And that is why as a church we give ourselves solely to God's word primarily. Right? What does God's word say? That should be the final authority on our lives, over our lives. What do we teach? Final authority. We don't teach experiences. Altogether. We don't teach experiences. Are we here? We don't teach our experiences. Whatever experience a man will teach at any point for any reason must be subject to the word. Altogether. Must be subject to the word. So as a church, we're going to give ourselves yet more. We need to keep our heart and keep being confident on the assurance that this is the final authority over our lives. Are we together? So leading of the Spirit is something that's very important. Now, the reason why you see lots of practices within the church is really because that people are not well taught on recognizing the leading of the Spirit. Are we here? So people now don't know how to recognize God's voice. You know, sometimes you hear some believers say things. You see, something was telling me. Believer like you, something. Right? Something was telling me. I don't know, something was just telling me. No, it's not just something. You should use the right words. Right? Because you are no longer a natural being. It has to be impressions on your heart. Are we together? Although there's sometimes something is really telling you and it's not the Spirit of God. Are we together? But you should be able to know when is your heart talking and when is the Spirit of God leading you. So for instance, I'll give a very typical example of what happened from the part of the world I come from, Nigeria. And you see, there's a cycle that happens every four years in my country, where I come from. And it's a cycle of election prophecies. Right? And you see lots of people prophesying. Yeah, really. Not that they are fake. Did you get that? That they are fake, but it is that a lot of them have not grown actually to be able to draw that line between what they wish and what they want to happen and what God is saying. All together. And sometimes it baffles me, is the audacity for me. Do you understand? You know the funny thing, people don't still learn. In the next 4 years, it will happen again. All together. What will happen? Right? God said this is the person that must rule these people. And if it's not this person, every other person is a devil. Right? God said, oh, this person might win, but this person will not win. But if this person doesn't win, this person will be arrested on the day they're supposed to inaugurate him. And if he's not arrested, you see, eventually, people will be waiting, I'll be seeing you, I will say, gutter. You know what gutter is? Gutter is that drainage. You know what you call drainage here? Drainage. Are we here? Right? So in a real sense, you must be able to draw the line. This is what I really want for myself. Don't want something for yourself and throw it to God. Did you get that? Right? For instance, the easiest place we find all of these conversations is when it comes to marriage and choosing a life partner. Right? You see a guy, you love him, you like him, he's tall, 7 feet. 7 feet tall, has good body, and sprays good perfume, has a good, you know, approach, has beard, has afro, is not bald, you know. And he has everything that you are looking for. He has 3 cars, he has a house. If you like him, there's nothing wrong in actually wanting to actually know him better and move forward in life. Are we together? Move forward in life, right? That's a move forward in life. Because I was talking to someone over the week, you know, and I was trying to explain to her that, you know, we've created a world in this world where we think that a man, for instance, must, I'm not teaching marriage today, okay? But a man must always be the one to approach a lady. So you see that fine young brother in church, always coming to church, always serving and praying and everything, and you like him. But all you do is just throw yourself around him. And you throw yourself around him, he's looking somewhere else. Or he's not even looking at all. Are we together? Until he now starts approaching another sister of yours. And you now start getting pained. Then you now start fighting the sister. Are we together? Right? You know the Bible that says, we build that doctrine that men must always be the ones to give the first impression. You know, someone will use the Bible. Whoever finds a wife, right? Finds a good thing and obtained favor of the Lord. Let me first allow you to be logical. Did Paul marry? So he didn't obtain favor. Okay. The person that got you saved, Jesus, did he marry? Did he obtain favor? So the question now becomes, what is that scripture saying? So it says, whosoever finds a wife, say, ladies, don't be finding, it's men that should find you. It's sad, that is why some people spend years in their life waiting for them to be found. Are we together? Let me just teach you what that scripture is saying. Okay, go to Proverbs. How did I go to Proverbs today? I think it's Proverbs. Look at Proverbs. Is it Proverbs 18?
Yeah.
Proverbs 18, verse 22. Are you in Proverbs 18, 22? Yeah. So let's read Proverbs 18:22 together. What does it read? No, let's read together. Proverbs 18:22. What does it read? Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. In your Bible, we've taught you over time the words that are not found in context. What's the first thing you observe? The words in italics. So is the word in italics, is the word whosoever in your Bible in italics?
Yes.
If you're using a phone Bible, it might not be there. Is the word, so what are the words in italics in your Bible?
Whosoever.
Whoso and what?
Thing.
And thing. So it means that in the original manuscript, whoso and thing is not there. So let's read it without whoso and thing. Find a wife. No, so don't add the et. Don't do find it. Find it is King James. What does find it mean? It's find. Are we together? So it says, find a wife.
Find good.
Find a good. You get that? And obtain favor of God. So what is he saying? Find a wife, find something good. So he's saying when you find a wife, you found something good. Now the word obtained there is the word that means permitted. Are you there? The word that means what? Permitted. So how do you read it? Find a wife, find a good thing, and permitted favor of the Lord. So obtained favor really will mean permitted. So obtained favor means it's something that is permitted of God. So how do you read that properly? Find a wife, it's a good thing, and it's permitted of God. Did you see that? Did you see that? Find a wife, you found a good thing, or you found something good, right? Because wife will not be a good thing, right? So find a wife, you found something good, or you found good, and it is permitted of the Lord. Are we together? Right, so in the real sense, that's just Bible interpretation. Put it in context. So, to a very large extent, the saint needs to know how to draw the line between what man is, you know, what man wishes for himself, and what God actually have you do. So, what we want to do in this series is to explain what exactly does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? So, we need to pay attention to certain things. So you know, some people, the way they are led is Holy Spirit. As I'm going out today, the first young man that smiles at me is the one. Are we together? Yeah. When I'm going out the second day, the first woman that says hello to me is the one. And sometimes we are not sincere. You go out, but you make sure the woman that you don't like doesn't say hello to you. You are seeing the woman, the first woman you see, you are running away because I don't want to hear hello. Then you now find the woman you really like, you are around, they say, you want her to say hello. I want the guy to say, you see, so that's how people say, I was led by Spirit. So you like a guy that is this way. And a lot of times you say, the Spirit of God led me to marry you. That's hell. I was together. Right, some people, they have only one job opportunity, and they say the Spirit of God led them to take that job. All together, right? Some people, it is when they are going out. You know how people believe a lot in superstition. When your hand is scratching, what is coming?
Money
is coming. Don't go and work. Your hand is scratching you to tell you that you are not laboring enough. You don't go and work, right? Sometimes it is so many superstitions. So a lot of us now begin to recognize the leading of the Spirit or superstition, or believe a lot in superstition and call it the leading of the Spirit. Are we together? But as a believer, because you have the Spirit of God, you should be able to know definitely this is the voice of God. I know how you know it. Let's look at it in this series. So let's start somewhere. Matthew's Gospel 28, okay? Matthew's Gospel 28. You know, you should be able to hear God's voice and say boldly, that's God speaking to me. Why do you think you should find yourself amongst a local church of people who are giving to God's word? It is that when you hear God's voice for yourself, another person might be able to confirm it for you. Are we together? See, a lot of times, the reason why a lot of people, when you hear a fellow believer say something to you and it sounds new or strange to you, it's not that God has not been speaking to you. It is that you've not recognized what God has been saying over time. altogether. So you should be a believer that is very bold about God's voice. And you say you know God's voice. Now let me also disabuse something. You see, in my life, I've never in my life ever heard a voice from the ceiling. Altogether. Right? I've never in my life heard a voice from thin air. I've never been walking in the middle of a bush. And all I was hearing was from the leaves of the bush. I was hearing, my son. I've never. And now, that doesn't mean that people that have said they've had those encounters are lying. You know why? Because there's actually much more than the physical world. You know that there's some experiences that the prophets of old had in the writings of the scriptures that a lot of us relegate. There's some experiences we relegate. I would just say that's the Old Testament. But think about yourself. Old Testament, they had that experience and they didn't have the indwelling of the Spirit. They didn't have the indwelling of the Spirit, but they had those encounters with God. And all you can say about it is that it's Old Testament. You that you are new. Are we together? So what should be the difference between you and anyone who, for instance, that might have had supernatural encounters in the Bible? It should be, how do you interpret it in the light of God's word? I want to get that. There is more that is in this world than your physical eyes can see. I want to get that. So Matthew 28, look at verse 18. Right? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Fundamentally, where is Jesus going to be teaching from? Genesis. Altogether, because Genesis is Genesis chapter 1, you see the first teaching of in the beginning, God created the what? The heavens and the earth. And have you ever heard me say that the heaven is not about the land where dead people go to?
Yeah.
So you've heard, right? Over time, for months into years, right? So you've heard me say that heaven is not a physical location, or heaven is not graveyard. Altogether, heaven is just another way of talking about the immaterial world, the unseen world, the supernatural world or the spiritual world. So when you see heaven and earth, what are you thinking? The unseen and the seen. What comes to your mind first when you think about unseen and seen in Bible language? Supernatural and natural, okay? Come again?
Heaven,
okay? Heaven, earth. So what comes to your mind when you see heaven and earth based on the writings of the prophet? Heaven and earth now. Yes, so what comes to your mind? Okay. Where do you think the supernatural and the physical were to meet in the writings of the prophets? Okay, earth. What is the name given to it? What is that sacred place that would house the unseen?
Temple.
Yeah, that's the word, temple. Altogether. Right? So, the temple, in the real sense, will be the meeting point of what? The unseen and the seen. Remember, in the practice of the temple, you see a man go into the inner court, the holiest of holies, right? So, he's not relating with a physical thing that is there.
Yeah, okay.
You get it right now, right? So, what is that going to be? An ideology of the unseen. So, the temple, so heaven and earth is a temple language. Did you get that? Did you get that? So heaven and earth is a temple language, the point or the place where the supernatural and the natural will meet. Are we following? So in the beginning, what was God creating?
In temple.
And so we'll get there gradually. Right? It's going to be a temple. Altogether. Have you read in the Bible speaking about the New Jerusalem? I think you had asked that question a few months ago, right? Right? You've heard the teaching about the New Jerusalem and the New Earth. Are we together? Okay, so, okay, let me show you something. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21.
Yes.
Now, look at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So is there first heaven and second? See, I want to say something very important right now. How many heavens is John talking about? So, how many heavens is John talking about in Revelation 21? How many earth is he talking about? Two. So there is the old, or what you call the first, heaven and earth, and there is the what? New heaven and earth. And there was no more what? Sea. Are we together? So look at verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. So if you look at holy city and New Jerusalem in Revelation 21 verse 2, what did he call it in Revelation 21 verse 1?
New
heaven, new earth. Beautiful. So new heaven, new earth is what? Holy city, which is New Jerusalem. Where is this New Jerusalem coming down from? Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So what is the other name for holy city there? New Jerusalem, coming out from God. What is the other name for holy city there? A new heaven and a new earth. What's the other name for holy city there? As a bride, adorned her husband. So is the bride linked to new heaven, new earth?
Yeah.
Yes.
So who is the bride? The church. So who is the church? The believer. Who is the believer? The temple of God. Are we together? So the believer is the temple of God. Are you here?
Yeah.
So the believer is the temple of God. Is the believer the new heaven and new earth? So if the new heaven and new earth is the believer, and it will be found where on earth? Are we together? What is the first heaven and the first earth that passed away? Wait, you know, some of us think that first heaven and first earth is this earth that will pass away. Then there will be a new heaven and earth. Is that not a layman reading of that?
Yes.
There will be a new heaven and earth. Then this heaven and this where we are will pass away. That means the earth will be destroyed. Are you here? So what is the first heaven and earth that will pass away? Look at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with where?
Men.
Is that right? Are you there? Yes. Tabernacle of God is with men. So where is the tabernacle of God with men found on the earth? So if the tabernacle of God is found with men on the earth, it means that the earth will not be destroyed. Are we here? Are we here?
Yeah.
Because we are the new heaven and earth. That is the bride. That is the temple. That is the church. So will this earth really be destroyed? Don't answer quickly. Try to follow. So will this physical earth, will the earth be destroyed? Where is the tabernacle of God found? On the earth with men. So it means the earth will not be. Anyways, don't get troublesome about that. So when you are thinking of a rapture conversation that the entire universe will be destroyed, what are you thinking? Movies. It's in your Bible now. Abi, look at it now. Tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall... So does God dwell in you right now, or he will dwell with you? So if he dwells in you right now, it means tabernacle of God is with men right now on the earth. So God will not now come and destroy the earth where men are housing or his tabernacle. Breathe in and breathe out. I'm just explaining the Bible, really. So, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pains for former things. So what will be the first heaven and earth that will destroy? Hold on, follow me. If heaven and earth is a language of temple, what will be the first heaven and earth that will be destroyed? Physical temple built. Did you get that? Do you remember when Jesus said, destroy this temple? What is this temple Jesus said he should destroy? He spoke of the temple of his body. What temple really will be destroyed? the temple of the physical one that Solomon, their father, built. Are you here? Are you going to? Hope you are following. Look at Matthew 24 quickly. So I plan to do a proper series on heaven and earth, but maybe before the next 5 years. Yeah? But we'll just be touching a little here and there. Or look at verse. Look at verse Matthew 24, right? Or let's look at John. Let me not get troublesome today. Look at John. John 2. Are you in John 2? Mm-hmm. Now, look at verse 14. And found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the table. Now, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of what?
Merchandise.
And his disciples remembered that it was written that the zeal of my father's house had eaten me up. About Jesus. Then answered the Jew and said unto them, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? Jesus now answered in verse 19 and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now let's put 20 together, 1, 2, 3, go. Then said the Jew, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of what? His body, right? And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the words which Jesus was had said. So what did Jesus teach and what did the scriptures teach? The scriptures have always been teaching about a temple. But the temple you will see as physical temple will be a pointer to what? The temple of Jesus' body. Right? So we have now come into God's temple in Christ, then the old temple. And that's what you see in verse, look at verse chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 19. After Jesus did word of knowledge with that woman. Now look at verse 19. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a what? Prophet. Now look at verse 20. And our father worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus now said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh where there shall neither be in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. Look at verse 23. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such who will worship him. God is a spirit, and they that must worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, is worshiping in spirit and truth crying when songs are being sung? No. Altogether. You see, I've seen people say that, oh, that ministration was so awesome and so powerful, right? I even broke down and I was crying in tears. And really, when you look at what was sung, it was off point. Do you know this song that is sang this way? Open the floodgates in abundance and cause your rain to fall on us. Right? You know who sang the song? There's a man called Sonny Badu, right? He's a pastor right now in the USA. Now, we sang that song a few years ago, and I've rarely seen a meeting when a singer sings that song with good instrumentalists that people don't cry. I've rarely seen a meeting. Now, a few years after growth in Sonny Badu's knowledge, he came out openly in his church and said he sang that song out of ignorance. He said it's an emotional song. So people that were crying, were they really worshiping? So what got them to cry at the point? The atmosphere. You know an atmosphere can just be, and you are just having what you say, goosebumps.
Ambience.
You know what you call ambience. And that's why some people, they go to minister in a place as a special guest, and what they say is he carries a presence. And that presence the person carries is full of ignorance. Are we together? But why would the people not know that this presence is just emotions tickling your fancy? You are not well taught. Are we together? You see, let's assume one day I change my mind, which will never happen, and I start bringing 5 different ministers to come and singers, guest artists, to come and minister on the stage and come and say, come and bless the people. I want to pastor a church where somebody will come here and say nonsense and nobody will respond. Not because the person is in front. All together. Right? And nobody will respond. You see, when God smiles, when God speaks from heaven, we call it thunder. Yes! That is why when you want to hear God speak, you are looking for rain. That's why you see some people, when they finish having serious prayer meeting, rain starts falling. That's a blessing. Showers of blessing. And they fail to understand that 50 times they've prayed, rain did not fall after. Are we here? Are we going? Are we together? So, in the real sense, that you should be that sound student of the word that when you hear, like when you hear it said, you just your error. Be that given to the word. It's not bias. I've gone for meetings before where the person leading, for instance, is just singing anti-reality. And I wonder how pastors do these things. You bring 2 or 3 different pastors who teach 2 different opposing things. The first minister comes and tells you your sins are forgiven forever in Christ. God is your father. You're forever. The second minister, you're doing the same meeting. You're doing the same atmosphere. Will come and say, God is angry with you. I need to stop doing what you are doing. And you say, You know, the mind of man is able to capture 2 errors or 1 error and the right and mix it together. Your mind is that powerful. So, that's why, don't think you are immune to influence. So, are we together? I went for a meeting last week. We're just waiting at the door. You know, and I saw a member who came for that meeting. And She just asked me, where am I coming from? Where did I say? I said, I'm from Edinburgh, Scotland. And she mentioned the name of a pastor. She said, wow, Apostle so-so-so is going to be in your city next week Friday. Are you going to be there? And I felt, how do you listen to that man? And you are here for this meeting. I had to tell myself that I know that really, the mind of man can mix nonsense with good food and eat it. Are we together? So you need to be that thing that is given to God's word that you know the difference. So a man has come and said, open the floodgates. And they go and they say, ah, yeah, yeah. One middle tongue like that. There's what they call, they say, Asha. There's one new tongue now. People have started calling it Asha. Asha. You don't know it. It's good for you. Right? And a lot of people are moved by that Asha. What is Asha? You know, you see people, for instance, I need to hear things. And I've said this before, I've taught it before, but I think I'm going to teach it extensively in the next series we're going to do around praise. You know what you call chanting? You know chanting? Who can give an example of chanting? I'm innocent. You know, when you start saying, ayaya, ayaya, and everybody's calling you, ayaya, ayaya, and you're doing it for 5-10 minutes, and you say it's the chant of the Spirit. No, that's ignorance. You can't teach that from the Bible. I would say that you can't teach that from the Bible. So don't allow emotions. Why am I giving you this introduction today? Because if you don't disabuse your mind of these very, 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 very ridiculous things, you will mix it to when God is speaking to you. And you will make it your lifestyle or your life. All together. Right? So, when you hear a song, what's the first thing you should listen for? The lyrics. Don't get carried away by what they are playing. Don't get carried away by the intro. All together. Don't get carried away by the intro. If you get carried away by the intro, you will just get carried away and they'll take you to where you don't know. Are we together? Listen to the lyrics. Look at the lyrics. Pay attention to it, then you sing. I've been in meetings before when they are singing things that are against my reality. And well, I will not necessarily be telling them, you people are saying, no, I won't say nonsense. Why am I there first? Just, why am I there first? A lot of times I realize I've stopped all those unnecessary bias when I go for meetings because you are my friend. And I want you to feel like I don't have that energy again. I want you to feel like I'm encouraging you. If you are doing, and I've spoken to you and I've told you, I've showed you from scriptures, this thing you are doing is not right. I'm your own. I've let that lifestyle go. But when I get to those meetings, when they are singing, I tweak my words. I change the words and I worship. So I don't I don't dwell on the fact that they are in error. Because that way you've attended that meeting by wasting your time. What can you do? You can still worship in that moment, right? What do? Your knowledge, you impose it on the song, sing under your breath. All together, right? I remember I attended a meeting of one pastor, like a friend of mine, we're still friends, definitely. And he asked me to come and collect offering. You know, somebody just to honor me, and he said, come and share the word on offering. So as soon as he didn't tell me before, he just said, we'll invite the pastor Joshua to come and, you know, collect the offerings this evening. And I know how they collect their offerings. You know, I had in Christ there 1 year ago, I think maybe a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago in Christ, and I had a friend who unfortunately made a very, very, very ridiculous mistake by asking me to close the service. After teaching solid doctrine, a dear brother came out and collected the mic and said, you see, now Pastor has taught us about the enlightenment. I want you to take that bold step today and sow the seed of enlightenment. Ha! I almost entered the ground. And he paid me. That was the day I said, never again. I just taught the people that seed sowing is not a practice. You don't sow seed to be enlightened. You know what the seed of enlightenment means? It's you sow a seed so that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Seed. Seed. I know the opportunity. He still sang Sam with that song. Put it together. You didn't get it. He still sang Sam. But that day I said, never again will I. And I just really felt like, oh, he's here, let me just honor him. No, no, you don't have to honor you. We have in our midst brothers, so and so. Clap for him. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming to us. We give you all the praise. Thank you for having church with us. We love you. We celebrate you. Have a good evening. Because maybe that is why the next in Christ, a lot of people do not come back. Because you know the impact on statements like that. Collect giving. And that's why for a while in Nigerian church, over a year, I think still now, when we are collecting, our givings and offerings, what we call offerings, the man that is teaching or collecting is always saying, always remember pastor tells you that when you give, it has gone. So you are reminded. So it is re-echoing in your mind. So you don't connect it. How we use money to connect to graces these days and time, I don't know. Imagine a man met Jesus and said, I want to tap into your grace. And he brought 100 shekels. Or Jesus is just coming back from evangelism. One man is coming with donkey. And Jesus said, how are you coming? I want to sow it into your life. So that my life will move the way the donkey is moving. Are we together? So you must be able. See, you will not be able to recognize or differentiate between being of the Spirit and what the world is advocating for without giving yourself to the Word of God. Right? So go to Matthew 28, where we really went. I don't know what took me on that part, but I'm sure that's a good introduction for you today. Excuse me. So, the first heaven and earth that will be destroyed is not going to be the earth destroyed and the sky destroyed. It's going to be a conversation of what? The temple. I was together. That's why Paul will now tell you, for we are the temple, knowing not thy what? Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Look at Matthew 28. So, an altar is given unto me in heaven and in earth, right? So, is heaven and earth temple language?
Yeah.
He says, go ye therefore into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in what? The name of the Father, name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He now says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I'm with you always. Right? So, in the real sense, where is Jesus teaching from? Scriptures. We've said that before. Everything Jesus had or was teaching, your foundation and background should be what? Genesis to what? Malachi. Never forget that rule in Bible interpretation. Right? So, do you think, for instance, that we have examples of Jesus being led by the Spirit? right? Where do you think that doctrine would have been built from? Genesis to Malachi. Do you think Paul talked about the leading of the Spirit? Yeah? Do you think Paul talked about the leading of the Spirit? Yes, now. Do you think the disciples talked about the leading of the Spirit? Yes, now. They did. So in the real sense, where do you think they taught it from? Scriptures. So it means that we can teach leading of the Spirit from what? Scriptures. You know how some of us, and we've been able to dissect some teachings and we know where we want to teach some things from. So when it comes to the leading of the Spirit and all those kind of things, we teach it from Romans, Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians. When it comes to Titan, what happened? Exodus, Leviticus, Malachi, right? But that really just go as not to show. Now, in the real sense, was giving taught in the epistles? Yes. Where do you think giving was taught in the epistles from? Basis will be Genesis to Malachi. So every Christian faith and every Christian topic would have their what? Foundation in Genesis to Malachi. I'm saying it again. So it means that you will not relegate Genesis to Malachi as a believer of God's word. The moment you close your mind and your heart to Genesis to Malachi, you are going to miss a lot about your Christian faith. Altogether. So you know that Paul did not write Corinthians with in mind that the Corinthians will read his letter and throw away the Genesis to Malachi.
Yeah.
Are we here? So when Paul will write Corinthians, he will expect them to have their Bible open when they read his letter. Because his intention was never for his letter to replace what? Genesis to Malachi. Are you here? Have you gone on? So the context of the writings of the scriptures will be what? Genesis to Malachi. So we need to teach the leading of the Spirit by paying attention to the writings of Moses, by extension the prophets, and by extension the what? The Psalms. Are we together? So if you look at verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I am with you, I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the what? The end of the world. Are we together? Look at Luke 24 quickly. Or, because of time, look at Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 3. Are you here?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you following?
Yes.
Lovely. So, Romans 15, verse 3. Let's read verse 4. Now, this is Paul in Romans 15, verse 4. Paul will say, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for... Are you there? Romans 15, verse 4. Are you there?
Yes.
Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For whatsoever things were written for aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So if you want to teach that there's eternal life, that a man will live forever, where's the first place you teach it from? Genesis to Malachi. So, before you read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Where did Jesus get that knowledge from? Genesis to Malachi. So, it means that you will pay attention to Genesis to Malachi to have a solid understanding of God's word. Now, so, it says, they are written for our learning. So, it means that we will learn by reading the scriptures. Now, it means that when we want to build doctrine in what you call New Testament books, you must have the background of what? Genesis to Malachi. So who is a good Bible student? A good Bible student is one who will be able to bring revelation knowledge or light to your heart by teaching the entire scriptures. Those of you don't, when it comes to 1 Kings, 1 Samuel, you don't read it. Are we together? When you say, and Uz began Bat, and Bat began Cook, and Cook began Uz. Right? And you see for 3 chapters like that, you just jump. And you see, if you are that kind of person, you say, this year I want to read my Bible. And you jump like that, you don't finish it. Go back. Are we together? Bible says they are written with something in mind. Right? So in Noah's story, you don't just know Noah. Are we together? If I ask some of you, now who's the father of Noah? You say Noah's father. Who is the child of Noah? You say Noah's children. Out together. Right? But you know Noah. Do you know what Noah means? Noah means rest. Out together. You know what Methuselah means? I've taught you before, right? What is Methuselah? People of God. The day is the afternoon. Let me say one. Methuselah is the Hebrew word that means when he dies, this will happen. Are we together? So the father of Methuselah knew about something that will happen. And he named his child. So when you say Methuselah lived, is the oldest man in the Bible, right? 969 years. What is that teaching? The long suffering of God. Because it was when Methuselah died, the flood happened. Are we together? So by prophecy, the father of Methuselah will say, your name is going to be when you die. This will happen. And what he spoke about, Noah was not even born. What he was speaking about was something that will happen after Noah was born. See, doctrine. So, who is Noah in the Bible? Noah as a doctrine in the Bible will show you that God wants to give rest to man. Through the what? Noah. Through the what? Through the ark. Are we together? Yeah. Now, let me ask you a very important question. Do you think that Noah was building an ark? What I mean, ark, boat. I've taught you a few weeks ago that the city that the people wanted to build, that they called Tower of Babel, what were they trying to build?
A temple.
A house, a place to house the supernatural. Mm-hmm. All together. And the story of that is showing that God does not live in houses made by the hands of men. You wanted to build a house for God. Mm-hmm. All together. But God is saying, man cannot build a house for me.
Yeah.
I will build a house for man. So even Solomon knew that when, you know, Solomon, David will tell you, David knew that they could not build a house for God. Are we together? So the question that becomes, man will always want to build a temple, a house for God, but God cannot, you cannot build a house for God because God wants to dwell in all the earth. Are we together? That's why the Revelation tells you the tabernacle of God is where? On the earth, with man. So where is God's resting place? Where is God's dwelling place? On the earth. So God cannot want to destroy the earth at any point. So when you think of flood, don't think that flood will just all of a sudden leave New York, all of a sudden to enter Canada, then you now come to UK, then to go to Ghana, then go to Burkina Faso. Then the entire world will just, everybody just running enter Skata. Is it enter Skata? Okay, I got it. Are we together? Right? So in the real sense, the scriptures and the writings of the scriptures were written with something in mind. So it means that when you pay attention to any subject matter on the page, you must have your attention where? On the scriptures. Let me show you a quick example in John 20 today. Oh, thank God, I still have time. John 20, that's the figure of speech. Look at John 20. Are you in John 20? What verse did I say you should go to? Look at verse 21. John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Please, I want to say something very important now. Look at verse 22. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Stop. So what did Jesus do? He brought them one after the other. After they're doing... Abby? He brought them one after the other and said... Is that what the Bible says?
No.
Abby, it's not your Bible again. What did he do? He breathed on them. So what is he? He did his nose. Okay, he didn't do nose, his mouth. Now, the word breath on them is the word emphasal in the Greek. I'll spell it for you. EMPHUSAO. Right? EMPH. Right? USAO. And it's a word that means to enliven, or to make one come alive. Are we together? A word that means to enliven, right? And to make or to cause one to come alive. Now, when Jesus says he breathed, when the Bible says he breathed on them, right? Do you think that will be a teaching in the writings of prophets and Moses? Please think about this carefully.
Yeah.
So where do you think that narrative will be? Have you ever seen a narrative in the Bible about breathing on someone? And the person came to life. Where was that narrative in? First place it was in the Bible. Genesis. Genesis what? Not the chapter, but what is the story? Adam, right? So go to Genesis 2. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust. Right? When you think of dust, please, dear saints, don't think of dust as sand outside. Up of Jesus. My sister, the way you'll be looking at me in this service, almost looks like your head is going up and down, right? Are we here? Let me say it again. When the Bible says God made man from dust, don't think of sand. No, God did not go. That is not to teach that God went into the mud and started taking sand, started building man. Then this is your leg. You now struggle like say it's your toe. No, now. See, there's a lot to learn. Yes, sense. And we will learn. All together. So the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And you see, that word there, dust, just really speaks about something that is insufficient. So just trying to say that man was created to be insufficient. Remember me saying something about man has a desire to want to know something about the supernatural? I started saying that today. There's that desire to want to know more. It is God that made it that way. So that your sufficiency will be dependent on Him. It is God's will. So when you think of dust, don't think of dust. Breeze is just breeze. When you say, dust did we come from, dust are we going to? I hope you just know you are speaking figure of speech. Are you here? Have you gone? So let's read verse 2 again. Verse 7 again. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. What is dust of the ground? To speak about insufficiency, mortality. Are we together? Are we together? Don't think of sand that is blowing with breeze. Okay. You know, says, and breath into nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? Living soul. So what's the word breath there? You see, in the Septuagint, Septuagint is just the Greek rendition of the Hebrew Bible. All together. If you have the Septuagint, the word breath there is the same word emphasao that is used in John 20. So let me ask you a question. So who breathed on man? Right? Who breathed on man in Genesis 2:7? God. Who breathed on man in John 20:22? God in Jesus. Did you get that? So that is showing that Jesus is God. Right? So Jesus is, let me say this carefully. So Jesus is the God that breathed in Genesis 2:7. And God is the Jesus that breathed in John 2:22. Let me ask you another question. Where again will your mind go to when it comes to breath? Breath. Right back. Think about it. Dry bones shall rise again. Okay, resurrection. But before resurrection, I'm talking about in the scriptures of prophets. Ezekiel. Will these dry bones live again? And what happened? Go to Ezekiel 37. Okay. Now, look at Ezekiel 37, verse 5. Then thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will what? cause breath to enter into you. So what is our cause breath to enter into you? I will cause you to live. Did you get that? So which God is talking in Ezekiel 37? Jesus that spoke in John 22. John 20. Did you get that? So did Jesus exist before the incarnation?
God existed.
You see, I'm trying to think. I want you to be thinking. Okay? I want you to think a lot. Did God exist before the incarnation?
Mm-hmm.
But you have heard it from me before. Eh? That Jesus is God. So did Jesus exist before the incarnation?
Yes.
Was Jesus' first existence an appearance to man in the incarnation? Was there Jesus from Genesis?
Yes.
Yes.
So what is different between Jesus from Genesis and Jesus in Matthew?
Not the physical.
There's a difference. Come again. Say what?
Was the intention of God.
Okay, intention of God to do what? Yes. So it was an intention of God to come in a different form. Are we together? So is Jesus in the real sense now on a place on the earth the way he was before the crucifixion?
Yeah.
On a physical place. Is there a place we can go to and say this is where Jesus is living?
No.
Yeah. Are we together? Right? But is Jesus living?
Yes.
All over the earth?
Yes.
So is Jesus in existence now?
Yes.
So is there anything different from his existence now and his existence before?
No.
So what is the incarnation about? The incarnation is Jesus taking on flesh just to present God in a different form to man.
Okay.
Did you get that? Did you get that? So the God of Genesis 2 is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Are we together? So let me say better. So Jesus that existed before incarnation did not exist as human.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So the reason for Jesus' incarnation is to exist as what? Human. But that does not mean that his first existence is the incarnation. Are you here? Right? So that is God taking up flesh to live amongst men. Right? So this the Lord God said unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall what? Come alive. So what was Jesus doing unto them in John 20? Using his nose to breathe or to enliven or living them or to give them life, to cause them to come alive. So he says, look at verse 6. God is saying, I will lay sinews upon you, I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with what? Skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, right? So in the real sense, will the breathing or the breathing, will it be a breeze or a speaking?
Speaking.
Are we here? So when Jesus breathed on them, did he blow breeze or he said something? What did he say? I go back to John 22 now.
Receive
ye the Holy Ghost. Look at John 20, verse 22. Are we together? And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So what was Ezekiel going to do in Ezekiel 37? So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews of the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto what? The wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, and they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, as they came alive. Is that true? And they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding what? Great army. Is that a picture of what Jesus did in the resurrection?
Yeah.
Are we together? We who were dead in sins were bones, dry bones, and the words of prophecy about the resurrection came to our hearts. And what happened? We came alive. So it means that before we became born again, we were dead as dry bones. Are we together? We're like those bones in the valley of you know, whatever you want to call it. And before then, or after then, whatever, we will now come alive. And who are we? Ezekiel tells you, an exceeding what? Great army. Are you here? Have you gone? So, is Jesus God?
Yes.
Is God Jesus?
Yes.
So, in the real sense, what other word can you give God and Jesus? So, if you say God said to me, how else can you say it? The Spirit of God said to me. That's Holy Spirit, right? All together. So, can you interchange the Spirit of God for Jesus? Mm-hmm. Look at Romans. Let me show you something in Romans, okay? So, the narrative of Jesus breathing on them, was this spiritual activity?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, a spiritual activity that will cause them to what? Come alive. The breath in Genesis 2, was that a spiritual activity?
Yes.
So it means that God did not do. So it was something spiritual. In Ezekiel, is it a spiritual activity?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So even in research, he says he breathed in the nostril, right? In Genesis 2. The dust in the research would just mean that God did not want to leave man insufficient. But to give man life. So the question that becomes, what will life be? Or what will death be? So did Adam die when he ate the fruit?
Not physically.
Not physically. Or spiritually. So what does it mean to die spiritually? It will mean to be away from the breath. Are we together? It will mean to be away from the bread. So, when the Bible says, in the day you eat this food, thou shalt surely die. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. So, did he surely die? Yes. What is the death? Not the fact that he just lie down on the floor. But the fact that in the real sense, there was a separation from the breath that God was going to give man to him, to what? Quicken man or cause man to come alive. So, man on the earth without Christ is going to be man without the breath of God. How will man receive the breath of God when God does a spiritual activity? How will God do the spiritual activity when a man prophesies? How does a man prophesy? You teach the gospel. Don't forget, guessing. You see, when I say prophesize and prophet, don't get your head mixed up about phone number and address. A prophet, primarily in the Bible, is not one who knows people's phone number. The first person we call the prophet in the Bible, the real sense, when you see clearly speaking, is Abraham. And we don't see a narrative of him saying, you live in this house, yes. Your color of your bedroom is this one, yes. Your door is this one. Are those things associated with the ministry of prophecy? Yes. But what is the fundamental assignment of the prophet? The word prophet is the word nabai, and it's the word that means a spokesperson, one who represents another. So who is the prophet? A prophet is one who will speak God's counsel. That means you are on behalf of God speaking his counsel. So are we all prophets?
Yes.
And that leads back to in Christ's teaching, touch not my anointed and do my what? Prophets no harm. So who are the prophets that need not to be done harm to? God's people. Who will be what? God's spokespeople. Not the pastor alone. Right? It's the pastor and the people, all God's people, that is God's anointed, that is God's prophet. Are we together? I was good. Now look at 2 Corinthians or look at Romans 8. Let me close Romans 8 this morning. Are you Romans chapter 8, verse 1? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? Spirit. So how many things is he discussing here?
Two.
Number one is what? Flesh. Number two is what? Spirit. So who are those that walk after the Spirit? Verse 1. Who are those that walk after the Spirit? Them who are in Christ Jesus. So how else can you say walk after the Spirit?
Be in Christ.
So you can use Christ to replace Spirit. Are we there? Look at verse 2. What is he talking about again? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Is that true?
Yeah.
To what?
Sin and death.
So the first one is what? Life in Christ.
Law of the Spirit.
Law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Second one is what? Law of sin and death. So what did he replace in verse 2? What did he replace in verse 1, in verse 2?
Flesh with sin.
He replaced flesh with sin and death. Mm-hmm. And he replaced spirit with what? So he replaced spirit and replaced them in Christ. Are we together? With what? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Are we here, Africano? Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the what? Flesh. But ye are where? In the Spirit. So what does it mean to be in spirit? To be in Christ Jesus. Are we together? Right? He now says, if so be that the Spirit. So is it going to be if so be? Since it can't be if, because if is now a probability. So he now says, if so be the Spirit. So since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Right? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? None of these. So what does it mean to be in Christ? It means to be in association with the Spirit. It means to be in association with the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ, and all of that. All together. So is Christ the Spirit that has come to live in you?
Yes.
All together. So is Christ the Spirit that has come to dwell in a man that believes the gospel? So it means that when a man believes the gospel, you were once that dry bone that has what? Come alive. That means you have God in you. Say, God lives in me.
God lives in me.
Are we together? So look at John 8. Or before I go to John 8, look at John 14. Let's examine John 14 by John 8. Look at John 14. John 14, are you there?
Yes,
look at John 14, verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Who is talking here?
Jesus.
Is that your Bible? So Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So who is this another comforter? The Spirit. How do you know? Look at the next verse. He says, the Spirit of truth. You get that? So the Spirit of truth is the another comforter. So, is that Jesus talking about a spirit that he wants to give man?
Yes.
So, the spirit that Jesus wants to give man, is it a different spirit from himself?
No.
It's supposed to be a different spirit because it says another. You see, the Greek word there, another, is the word allos in the Greek. And the word allos there just means that which is of the same. All together. So what is allos parakletos? That's the word comforter there. Right? It's going to be the same spirit. So let's now be sure. So I want to ask you a very important question. Did Jesus stay away and give you his spirit?
No.
Be careful before you answer. Think about it. Did Jesus stay away? He says, my Father will give you another comforter. And now tells you in the next verse that the another comforter is the Spirit of truth. Right? He says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And what will happen shall be in you. Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So who is coming to you? Christ is coming to you by his Spirit. All together. So first of all, you will think of the narrative of Jesus is saying, my Father will give you another spirit. In the same breath, he's saying, the another spirit my Father is going to give you is the Spirit in me. In the same breath, he's saying, that another spirit that I've told you is the Spirit in me, is me. You get that? He says, I will not leave you, what? Comfortless. I will, what? Come to you. So, did Jesus, when he says, Jesus, after he finished teaching and everything, the Bible says Jesus ascended. So did Jesus ascend away from the earth?
No.
Did Jesus say goodbye?
No.
See, if the narrative was God is going to give another of the Spirit in Jesus to man, all together, then Jesus will now say, bye, you have the Spirit. But Jesus says, don't get your head, don't get it twisted, really. That spirit I'm promising you is actually me, myself. So the spirit that has been promised all the way from Genesis is who? Christ. So Jesus Christ is the spirit that would have been promised. So why is that saying that God will now bring life into man by giving man his spirit? What does that really mean? Christ will come in you, and when you have Christ, you have what? The spirit of God. So look at John 8 now as we close. John 8 verse 12. So he says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the what? The light of the world. Stop. So who is Christ? Light of the world. Who is Jesus? Light of the world. Who is Christ? Light of the world. So is Jesus the spirit that is the light of the world?
Yes.
So have you received Christ?
Yes.
So what have you received? Light of the world. You know, there's a joke that usually goes around when you see some sort of, I see some of my friends, they just post on there. Light of the world has, the light of the world has woken up today, or something like that. Have you seen that part? The light of the world has come up as, anyways. Are we together? Right? So, if Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, and Jesus said, I'm coming to you, so what has come to you?
Light.
Are we together? So, do you have the Spirit? Do you have Christ?
Yes.
What do you have?
Light.
So, is Christ, is light a mere gift in Christ? Listen very well. Is Christ one of the gifts? Is light one of the gifts in Christ?
No.
Don't tell me the or. Don't forget about the or. Answer that one.
No.
So, when Christ comes into you, one of the gifts he has come with is light. So does God give light?
Yes.
How does God give light?
He's like himself.
He gives himself. Do you understand? Christ is saying, I'm the light. No, mind you, Jesus did not say, I have light. I am the light. So that's a present continuous. So when you say you are a believer, that means you've received the Spirit. What have you received?
Light.
You receive light, that is, you receive Christ. So how do you say it? So one of the gifts you receive is light. But you must see that the gift that you actually receive that is light is not about a gift that is different from the person that is giving the gift, but the person who is the gift. So the gift of light that is given to you is the giving of Christ himself. Exactly. So that again, it says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the what? The light of life. The light of life. So it means that there's no believer that lacks light. What is the opposite of light? Easy to say darkness. But really, a better biblical way to look at it is that which is what? Chaos. Are we together? Are we together? So, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, 3, the earth was what? Without form and void. And what? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. So, what does darkness upon the face of the deep mean? It means that there was what? Chaos. So, what restores chaos? Light. So it means that a believer is not by default found in chaos. A believer by default has light. So when you see a believer looking for light, he is looking for what is not lost. Are we here? You know, can you have light and not know? You know, there's sometimes I go into some maybe a couple places in the past. There's sometimes I go into a dark path or a dark room or whatever, and I'm with my phone. And I forget that my phone has a touch. And I walk into the place, and while I walk into the place, I might hit my leg or something. Did I have light? Could I have used my light? What did I not do? I did not acknowledge I have light, which will show or reflect in how I was or how I use light. So I close it. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So can you say light as well as direction? So does a believer lack direction?
No.
So it means that one of the things you say you've received when you become born again is what?
Direction.
So it means that by default, you have direction. The problem is, do saints acknowledge direction? You know, there's sometimes, it happens to me a couple times, I'll go to a new city and I want to use my Google Map to find a location. And what do you think is wasting my time? What happened? I'll stop somebody that is what? Walking. What am I looking for? Looking for something I have. What do you think will make me able to use that thing I have and use it effectively? Giving my attention to the practical use of that app called Google Map. So there's a way you know, there are people who are shy, they don't know how to ask questions. So it means that they will use their map and make sure. But someone like me, for instance, once I realize time is going, I don't look at it, what am I doing? So, excuse me, do you know where this is that and this is this? So what now happens? They are the one that will now say, where are you going to? They'll be zooming my own phone. Me, the owner, I bought it, so you're not a shareholder. And they'll be zooming my phone. So what happened? I have direction, but I did not make use of direction. And that's the life of a believer. No, Pastor, you know, I don't know. There's this brother like this, so he can speak in tongues very well. His tongues is even very fluent. And Pastor, not the funny thing, the good thing about him is that he is just so loving. But Pastor, there's another person. He knows about God, but not Jesus. Yeah, he loves God with all his heart, but not Jesus. But Pastor, he's so kind. Pastor is so kind and he takes care of me, Pastor. I'm not his wife yet, but he used to give me gifts every morning. And I'll be in the office. Pastor, will you believe? I was in the office last week, Monday. I just said, there's a delivery guy outside. What? He brought food for me. I'll say, what a heart. Pastor, now, my mommy is telling me that I must marry. And I need to marry very soon. I want to know what the Spirit of God is saying. Trouble. Are we together? Eh? The Bible first tells you by plain, do not be unequally yoked. So, that he is not a believer, first of all, he's supposed to be don't go, no go area. That's light clear. I say, God, I'm having some impression in my head. That impression will soon press you. That impression you're looking for, it will soon press you. My sister said you can preach to him. Just make sure that before you get involved emotionally, he has left darkness. Not the one you say you will preach. It's not changing. You say, don't worry. In the marriage, I'll change him. Until one day, we'll just see you with hijab. Just see you with hijab and covering half of your face. And we'll be walking past us in the market. The only thing we know is you is your perfume. Are we together? So there are certain things that are clear in the Bible, right? You know, like Sister Steph was saying last week when she was teaching about how you don't need to ask God to lead you if you forgive someone that offended you. So when you hear somebody say, God personally told me to forgive you, your heart is stiff. Stiff. Yeah, you know that person, those people they talk about in Exodus is you. You are them. Them are you. Pastor, it's easier said than done. But you see what this person did to me. No. Even if the Spirit of God tells me to forgive, you don't need to go that far to wait for a voice to tell you to forgive. You already have the word.
Yeah.
So it means the primary and fundamental way that God will lead the believer in this world is by his word.
Yeah.
For in looking at the word, you see so many encounters and examples and templates as to how your life should be lived. Are we together? So you need to actually, so it means that if we are teaching about leading of the Spirit, what are we saying to do? Give your heart yet more to the word. So what is the testimony of that woman who sees a kind unbeliever? Right? Who sees a kind unbeliever and is asking, what will God have you do? I listen to Moen. when they want to marry or when they want to make that decision, the first thing they are saying is they write the names of two men on a paper. Right? Write the names of two men on a paper and submit it to a man who is spirit spirit led. So a man with light is giving another man with light to dissect what. So what will end up happening? And that's why there are some conversations and some conversations really that happen that when you see the way people are thinking and their concerns, right, you cannot but stay away from those conversations. That's why, you see, even at all, for instance, if you have a pastor, for instance, who will want to seek his counsel regarding a conversation, don't first go with the narrative of this is what the Lord is saying. Especially when you are sure that what the Lord is saying. Because you know what that means? No matter how much I know that is what is wrong for me as a person, it will take. I've met people who reach out to me and say, Pastor, there's this particular job, this particular thing I want to do, you know, but my heart is yielding towards that. And I know that is carnality. The best I just say is pray some more. Right? Why? Because we've already come to tell me that this is what God said to you. Why should I tell you you cannot hear God? Right? But you should be that believer who has gotten so good to the world. So there are some job opportunities that will come that because it will take you out of service in the local church, you will turn down. Are we here? There are some friends you would have, right? And because you know they will have more influence over you than you will have over them. And because you know they will take you out of service in the local church, you will stay away from them. You know, there's some things you don't need to pray about. It's clear. It's just like waking up on a Sunday morning and saying, God, should I go to church today? It's clear. It's just like saying, God, should I preach to this soul? It's clear. Are we together? So who is the believer? The believer is one who has received the light of God and is full of light and forever has direction. Say, I have light.
Say, I have